Okay, so we've been looking at Jehovah's Witnesses, and last time we looked at Jehovah's Witnesses list what they call some myths on their website. We looked at two last time. Myth number one, they say it's a myth that the soul is immortal. They believe that the soul ceases to exist. They do not believe, so myth two is they think it's a myth that the wicked suffer in hell. And so we refuted both of those from the scripture last time. And we're looking at number three today. They believe another myth, myth number three. They say it's a myth that all good people go to heaven. Now, at first you might think, wow, they actually got a doctrine right. All good people don't go to heaven. That is, all people who think they are good don't go to heaven. So you might think, wow, they actually got a doctrine right. But no, they didn't, because they mean something different. But let's go first to Psalm 14. Psalm 14 and verse 3. Psalm 14, 3. The Bible says they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is what? None that doeth good, no, not one. So there are no good people. Matthew 19. Matthew 19, verses 16 and 17. Matthew 19, 16 and 17. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, this young man had a lot of questions about good. Good master, what good thing shall I do? Jesus responds in verse 17, and he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So Jesus pins him right down. Jesus notices how he uses the word good so much, and he brings it right out to him. Why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. Are you confessing that I am God? Well, obviously the young man was not confessing that. But so we're not going to give the Jehovah's Witnesses credit for getting this point right. They say myth three is that all good people go to heaven. And here's their quote. It's from their website, jw.org. I quote, Although Jesus promised his disciples that he would prepare a place for them in heaven, he indicated that the righteous do not automatically go there. A minority will rule in heaven with Christ, but the majority will live forever on earth. Now, what did Jesus promise? Let's go to John 14. John 14, verses 1 through 3. John 14, 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So what the Jehovah's Witnesses are saying is that this passage was only given to the apostles and to a limited number of people, because they're saying, I quote them again, although Jesus promised his disciples that he would prepare a place for them in heaven, he indicated that the righteous do not automatically go there. Well, you have to understand their idea of righteousness is not really the biblical idea of righteousness. But the fact of the matter is, what they're trying to say is that all the saved do not necessarily have a home in heaven. That's just for the apostles and a select few, and we'll see the select few to them as 144,000. But let's look at this promise. Was this promise just to the disciples or a select few? Or is John 14 written to whosoever will may come? Well, let's continue on reading verse 4. And whither I go and the way ye know? Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if they're going to say that verse 3 only applies to the apostles, and then they're going to say it applies to the 144,000, then it would have to be true that verse 6 only applies to them as well. When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So is salvation only for the apostles and a select few, meaning the 144,000? Then that would mean verse 6 has no application for anyone else that's ever lived or will live. But verse 6 is clear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if it's only for a select few, why did Jesus say in verse 2, there are many mansions? And of course, Jehovah's Witnesses teach a false way of salvation. And of course, then in their quote here, they were saying that, let's see, this is another quote from them on their website. God selects a limited number of faithful Christians who, after their death, will be resurrected to life in heaven. Once they have been chosen, they must continue to maintain a Christian standard of faith and conduct in order not to be disqualified from receiving their heavenly inheritance. So Jehovah's Witnesses are saying not everyone's going to heaven, just a select few are going to heaven. But of those who are chosen to go to heaven, if they mess up, if they sin, then they're going to be disqualified from going to heaven. So obviously theirs is a false work salvation. But Jesus teaches true salvation can never be lost. John 6:37. True salvation can never be lost. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will what? In no wise cast out. No wise, not for any reason will he cast them out. Look with me please in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 27. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. You know, the Bible never refers to salvation as temporary. If you buy a product and the warranty is not forever, it'll say something like limited warranty, or it'll give a number of years. Jesus said, and I give them eternal life. It's never temporary life. It's never described as temporary life. And he goes on to say, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So contrary to Jehovah's Witness doctrine that just a limited number are actually going to heaven, I mean, beyond the apostles and the 144,000. Let's look at 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that what? Fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now this says in verse 4 that it's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. The word fadeth, according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, the word fadeth means wither, sink away, or vanish. Wither, sink away, or vanish. So he says, this inheritance fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So our inheritance in Christ, heaven, does not fade away. It's not going to go away. The word reserved, it says there, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The word reserved from Strong's Concordance means to guard from loss. To guard from loss. So we have a place reserved in heaven for us. It's being guarded from loss. Well, what is being reserved? What is being guarded from loss? It says reserved in heaven for you. So are they going to say that now this verse in 1 Peter 1, 4 also only refers to the apostles and the 144,000? The context says nothing of that sort at all. So what is being reserved for us is a place in heaven. And can we mess up and lose it? Well, look there in verse 5. Who are kept by what? The power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So, no, our place in heaven does not depend upon us, whether we mess up or not. We're always a mess compared to God's holiness. We're always a mess. There's not a day where we don't sin, either by doing something wrong or not by doing all that we should be doing. You know, too many people are like the rich young man who came to Jesus. You know, oh yes, I've kept all those commandments. You loved your neighbor as yourself, really? Oh yeah, yeah, I've done that. Okay, let's do a little test then. Sell everything you have and give to the poor and come follow me. I can't do that, Lord. He walked away sad, didn't he? So he didn't love his neighbor as himself. So there are so many ways we don't even realize that we sin. So we are kept, verse 5, by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And that's the problem with Jehovah's Witnesses is their salvation is not through faith in Christ. It's a conglomeration of works is what they're trusting in. So, how many do the Jehovah's Witnesses say will get to go to heaven on their website? I quote, how many will be resurrected to heaven? The Bible indicates that 144,000 people will be resurrected to heavenly life. Revelation 7, Revelation 7 and verse 4. Revelation 7, 4. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now this is interesting. The Jehovah's Witnesses have been asked by people, if this number is not just symbolic, this 144,000. So they answer this on their website. They say, I quote, misconception. The number 144,000 mentioned in Revelation is symbolic, not literal. They say, quote, fact. Although Revelation contains symbolic numbers, some of the numbers it uses are literal. For example, it speaks of the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, Revelation 21:14. Consider the evidence for concluding that the number 144,000 should likewise be taken literally. Revelation 7:4 records, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000. They go on. In the immediate context of this verse, a second group is contrasted, a crowd which no man was able to number. Okay. They're just saying in the immediate context of this verse. So we'd be going down to verse 9. "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number of all nations," and so on. So they're saying, see, verse 4 gives a specific number. Verse 9 just gives you a general figure, a number that no man could number. Okay? So they go on to say, if the number 144,000 were symbolic, referring instead to a group of people without number, then the contrast between the two groups would be lost. I continue to quote them. "In addition, the 144,000 are described as being bought from among the mankind as first fruits." Okay. And they don't give a reference on that, but maybe we'll catch it here in just a minute. Actually, they list... Chapter 14, verse 4. 14, 4. And let's go to verse 1 first. Revelation 14, 1. "And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. And then if you go to verse 4, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb." So they are saying that this expression, first fruits, refers to a small representative selection. It aptly describes those who will rule in heaven with Christ. Okay, so what I want you to see is this. They are saying, back in chapter 7, verse 4, they are saying that these 144,000 are this select few plus the apostles that would go to heaven. And they're saying that they are the 144,000. And of course, there's more than 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses right now. So they're just saying, well, they're the select Jehovah's Witnesses, and the rest are just going to rule and reign on earth. But they are claiming that the 144,000 are definitely going to be Jehovah's Witnesses. So in Revelation 7:4, they are maintaining we must take this number strictly, 144,000. What are they not then taking literally? Verse 5, Revelation 7:5. "Of the tribe of what? Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. So it goes down through each tribe, 12,000. Okay, they said the number is literal. 144,000 is not figurative. It's not symbolic. It's literal. Well, if you're going to say that, then you must say, then you've got to take this as literal Jews. So the question is, how many Jehovah's Witnesses are Jewish? Well, I know for a fact it is not a Jewish thing normally. I've never heard of a Jewish Jehovah's Witness. There might be some that have a Jewish lineage that are in Jehovah's Witness, but I've never met one, never heard of one. But if the number is literal, you must be a Jew. And not only that, if you go back to Revelation 14 and verse 4, They cited this passage as a proof that the number is literal. Well, it says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are what? Virgins. The 144,000 are Jewish, and 144,000 are all young men that have never been married. Does that apply to Jehovah's Witnesses? Are they Jewish? Are they all unmarried? Are they all single? No. So, I mean, it throws their thing right out the window. So, their own passages condemn them as their doctrine is false. So they're trying to say that only this limited number can go to heaven, only those who are Jehovah's Witnesses, the select few, and everybody else is just going to be on earth, not going to go to heaven. Well, one thing they have right, the vast majority of them are not going to heaven. They don't even believe in going to heaven. They just believe that, quote, heaven is like here on earth. And, of course, that's why they're all about, save the earth, because they plan on staying here. I mean, they plan on, this is their heaven. So, yeah, they don't want this earth destroyed, you know. So they're kind of into that tree hugger, earth hugger idea there. So anyway, that's myth number three, that all good people go to heaven. Almost out of time. But myth number four, they say that God is a Trinity. They say myth number four, that God is a Trinity. Once again, from their website, jw.org. They say, quote, fact, the Trinitarian dogma is a late 4th century invention. Well, the Trinity was taught right from the very beginning. Notice in Genesis 1. Genesis 1:26. The Bible says, and God said, let what? Us. Make man in what? Our image. After what? Our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So what do we notice here? In the very first chapter of the Bible, God is referring to himself with the use of what? Plural pronouns. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So three different times there, just in that one verse, we find that said. So we find let's go to verses 1 and 2, Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, what? God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the what? Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So we're already being introduced to the Holy Spirit right here. So, yes, there's ample proof right from the beginning. Notice once again in Genesis 11. Genesis 11, 5 through 7. Genesis 11, 5 through 7. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let what? Us go down. And there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So once again, God refers to himself with a plural pronoun. So the Trinity is taught right from the very beginning of Scripture. Okay, and that's why in Romans 1, Romans 1, 19 and 20, we have a reference back to creation, Romans 1, 19 and 20. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and what? Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 20 is a powerful verse. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, well, we're going to have to close with that here. But so with the Jehovah's Witnesses, they think that only a very small select few are going to heaven, and everybody else that is saved in their perverted sense of the word saved is just going to stay on earth. So if you ask a Jehovah's Witness, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven when you die? Some of them are going to respond like, we don't believe in that. You don't believe in what? We don't believe in going to heaven when you die. We believe we're staying right here on earth. So they'll argue that with you.